The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus spoke to the crowds about the kingdom of God, and he healed those who needed to be cured. As the day was drawing to a close, the 12 approached him and said, "Dismiss the crowd so that they can go to the surrounding villages and farms and find lodging and provisions, for we are in a deserted place here." He said to them, "Give them some food yourselves." They replied, "Five loaves and two fish are all we have, unless we ourselves go and buy food for all these people." Now the men there numbered about 5,000. Then he said to his disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50. They did so and made them all sit down. Then taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he said the blessing over them, broke them, and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. They all ate and were satisfied. And when the leftover fragments were picked up, they filled 12 wicker baskets." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The year is 1263, and a priest from what is now the Czech Republic is on a last-ditch effort pilgrimage to revive his Eucharistic faith, which has largely waned in his experience over the last several years, coming almost close to almost no faith that when he said the words of institution over the bread and the wine in the consecration of the Mass, that something we call transubstantiation was really happening. This priest, known only in history as a Father Peter of Prague, in a last-ditch effort to revive his faith in the Eucharist, makes pilgrimage to Rome. And he finds himself in the chapel of Santa Cristina on Lake Bolsena, which is about an hour and a half north and west of Rome, reachable today by car or by train. And in that chapel, while he's saying Mass, the Blessed Sacrament, the host that he's consecrating, begins to bleed. And the blood is captured in the corporal, or the linen, over which the Mass is said, of linen that we still use in the Mass we say today. Obviously, both mystified and terrified by the incident, he brings the relic of the corporal to Pope Urban IV, who just providentially happens to be residing in the papal fortress town of Orvieto, just on the other side of Lake Bolsena. Urban IV is himself mystified by this supernatural intervention of the Lord and asks two young theologians, a young Dominican named St. Thomas Aquinas and a young Franciscan named Bonaventure, to investigate the authenticity of the miracle, which they do. Aquinas's Mass settings, which Urban IV asked both saints to compose, was chosen for the commemoration of what we call every year the Solemnity of Corpus Christi, dating back all the way to the 1260s. That particular incident gave rise to Eucharistic hymns we still use today. The Pange Lingua, the penultimate verse, is the Tantum Ergo, and the O Salutaris, which is often sung at the beginning of Eucharistic adoration. So I like to joke my Protestant friends that some of our Eucharistic hymns are 300 years older than the foundation of their churches. That's how we got today's solemnity. Now, the solemnity, of course, of the body and blood of the Lord should call to mind the source and summit of the church's life, the Eucharist, the reason, in a certain sense, why the church exists, to perpetuate the cult or the worship of the Most Blessed Sacrament, which we do here and at every parish around the world. This is also true in every oratory or chapel, no matter where you go. Catholics take great consolation in coming into a church and checking to see if there's a red sanctuary lamp lit, because they know Jesus dwells here. This is central to Catholic faith. And one of the things that separates us in large part from our Protestant brothers and sisters in the Lord. To bring this home for us, I'd like to just call to mind a couple of issues or challenges that we face in this in the times in which we live regarding Eucharistic faith. Now in 2025, our bishops have begun the conclusion part of what's a three-year cycle of a Eucharistic revival. This is an attempt by the bishops to help try to recapture Eucharistic faith, especially after the pandemic, when church attendance in most parts of the West has largely not recovered. Even in a parish like this, which is very devout and very faithful, you ask people who have been here for decades, they'll tell you it's not quite as many people. And how many of our families, for instance, associated with ancillary institutions to the parish, for instance, at the school, only a very small percentage of them come to Mass on Sunday, even fewer those who are participating in religious ed. So it's important for us to, as practicing Catholics, rediscover, the bishops are telling us, the power and the meaning of the Most Blessed Sacrament, which in this parish is central, not simply because we offer Mass twice a day, but we're also a parish that offers daily adoration. Now, I'll start with adoration and a few reflections on that. Not necessarily to promote adoration, although I hope that's one of its nice effects, but just to explain what is happening with us when the Blessed Sacrament is exposed. Here, you'll realize that if you come to Mass here early before the 8 o'clock Mass, you'll see the Blessed Sacrament exposed in a monstrance. It's a vessel that holds the consecrated host. And in between Masses, and day and night, we have adorers that spend time here adoring our Lord. The power of adoration is unmatched. I can tell you from personal experience, having spent many hours in an adoration chapel as a young college graduate working in a very busy management consulting firm, I discovered my vocation through the power of Eucharistic adoration. And as I entered seminary and noticed a number of men from my part of the world who also discovered their vocation through adoration, I noticed some of them who were priests of my diocese now, we all kind of recognized each other at a certain point, having seen each other in adoration chapels, which this becomes when Mass is not being celebrated. The power of Eucharistic adoration, as I mentioned, is unmatched. Because what adoration does is that it reorients us properly to our place in the world. The primary posture, although not exclusive for adoration, is kneeling. When you adore the Blessed Sacrament, you are immediately reminded of a few things. The first is that He is God and I am not. He is Creator, I am a creature. He is infinite, I am very finite. And I am just one heartbeat away from seeing Him no longer under the veil of bread and wine, but face to face as He truly is. It's also an opportunity for us to connect as we continue to struggle in our modern age during this pandemic of loneliness to spend time with the alone. Our Lord making Himself present here, exposed for adoration, is in large part met with indifference and coldness. We'd much rather be on our phones scrolling on TikTok or Facebook or YouTube than spending even half an hour in front of the Blessed Sacrament. So much more convenient. And yet that very phenomenon of the use of social media has created this massive pandemic of loneliness. I tell people who suffer from loneliness, come to adoration. You can be alone with the alone. He waits here day and night and thirsts for your love. Keep Him company. I don't know what to say. Don't say anything. When you're in the familiar presence of a good friend, you know, when you drive along with someone and you feel like you don't have to say anything to them because you have to fill the silence, their friendship resides and you can spend time with our Lord. Listen, stop talking. Listen, He has plenty to say. If only we have ears to hear. It's also a moment where we should adore our Lord, not only in his magnificence, but in his humility and his vulnerability. Imagine, our blessed Lord makes himself vulnerable by making himself accessible to us. My second point. This vulnerability, therefore, exposes our Lord, excuse the pun, to the possibility of sacrilege, profanation, and indifference. And what I mean by sacrilege is not only simply mishandling the Blessed Sacrament, but receiving the Blessed Sacrament at Mass when one is not properly disposed. I run into this a lot. People who do not come to Mass on Sundays, two out of four Sundays is good enough, right, Father? No. When you miss Mass on Sunday, unless there is an absolutely good reason for it, usually bound into some charitable act that you could not get out of performing, you are bound to be at Mass on Saturday night or Sunday. Missing Mass is typically regarded as a mortal sin. One ought never to receive Holy Communion unless that sin has been confessed to a priest in the sacrament of penance, a confession. But many people ignore the importance of being properly disposed to receive the Blessed Sacrament. 1 Corinthians, from which we read in the second reading, says later in the very same chapter, he who receives and consumes the body and blood of the Lord unworthily becomes guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. And yet, it's absolutely fine in many circles, I find, to miss Mass on a fairly regular basis, or even once, and then prance up for communion on the following Sunday without first having confessed that. This is a very serious problem in the church, and it only contributes to the indifference and profanation. And yet, our Lord, knowing that he would be exposed to this kind of vulnerability, continues to insist on making himself available so that even those who are, quote, worthy might receive him and receive the graces associated with it. You know, in my years of working in Hispanic ministry, which has been the vast majority of my years as a priest, one of the things that has really struck me, especially among Mexican immigrants, is their very strong sensitivity to being properly disposed to receive Holy Communion. This has struck me in almost every parish where I've served on staff. When communion time comes, how few of them come up for Holy Communion. It's mostly the children, but many of the adults do not. And I usually will investigate as to why this is, but I already know the answer. I've been doing this for too long not to know. And it's simply this. When people know that they shouldn't receive in that cultural context, they don't. And they'll say to me, Padre, necesito confesar. I need to confess. Or tengo pecado mortal. I have mortal sin. Okay? Now, for all of the different challenges there are in the Latino ministry world, trust me, and they are multiple, we have to admire on some level this deep sensitivity to being properly disposed. And yet, he makes himself so vulnerable to us. It is a remarkable act of love only from God himself that he would make himself so available to us in spite of knowing how many would treat him with such disdain. And it's not necessarily malice, I find. It's usually just simple neglect. But it's solemnities like Corpus Christi that call to attention our need to be reanimated and revived in the proper dispositions necessary to receive the Blessed Sacrament. As a last thought, I also want to address the idea of the streaming Mass, which seems to have become such a prevalent, quote, replacement for attending the Eucharistic sacrifice. How many people do I run into that say, Father, we don't go to Mass on Sunday, we go on Monday or Tuesday because it works better for our schedule, and when we can't make it to Mass, we just attend Mass online. That permission during the pandemic was repealed almost 3 years ago, a little overdue. And yet many people prefer the convenience of coming downstairs in their pajamas with their coffee tumblers and just watching Mass. The Lord did not institute the Eucharist for the sacrifice not to be consumed. And unless the Eucharist is consumed worthily, then the sacrifice for the individual recipient is not completed, and we do not have communion with him. This kind of casual cavalier attitude only adds to the indifference and profanation so common in our ranks today. So let us pray today not only to examine ourselves, but also to think clearly about what our Lord is doing here in our very midst. He is always and substantially present, all out of love. There is no other explanation for it in the great fulfillment of his promise to remain with us until the end of the age. Come, let us adore him.